Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berkowitz, your host today of Women Leading the Way, and oh boy, do I have an amazing female leader that we are going to dish and discuss and talk about. And I just want everybody to pause for a moment, because we're going to be talking about creating synergy within self and life, and we're going to be talking a lot about money today. Now, don't get excited. But get excited, because money is a big deal. And I'm delighted to introduce our leading lady to you today, who is the amazing Lori Wilson, who is a financial professional with AXA Advisors. And Lori, say hello to all of our listeners, because it is you and I today and all of our listeners.
Woohoo! Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. And you know what? Today, we just got to like give a little shout out to, because you know it's Veterans Day. And we just need to give a little shout out to all those that served before us who allow us to do these amazing things in business. I got to say, you know, very prideful of our veteran community here in Southern California. Would you agree? Because that's where we're at right now.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you all. I and I think all of us here really appreciate everything you do.
You know, it's funny, I heard today on, I think it was the news, early this morning, and I'm an early bird, and it was interesting because they were asking a veteran, they said, you know, when people say thank you for your service, it's like, you know, do you like that? Is that cool? Is it, you know, just some of us walk around, we don't even know what to say, you know, we just, like,
exactly.
We pay it forward. I know it's tough. And what his answer was, he goes, you know, he goes, live the good life, and he goes, just respect, you know, the fact that it's God, country, and service. And I was like, what a great answer, you know, just live the life according to a nice set of standards. And I went, that was a really cool answer. So, because I know I always fumble with what to say, but, you know, I mean, I was, and then we'll move on to the show, but I was like, I was in an airport about a month ago, and I know they had all these, I think they were active duty military that were coming off the planes. There were about 30 of them, and literally people just parted ways in the aisle as they came off the, you know, the plane, and they were like cheering and clapping, and it was like, man, my uncle came out of Vietnam, and it was not like that, which is seriously cool right now that there is such love of military. So anyway, I don't want to say happy Veterans Day, but, you know, just let's be proud and let's be supportive. And, oh, my, those people that allow us to do what we do. Correct?
Absolutely. I love that. I love that, the respect, and that they're people just like we are. And if we all live happily together, you know, that's the big deal here. And you just brought tears to my eyes with that story because I've seen it. And what I try to do, what I try to do when there's especially a group of them is put my hand over my heart to them as my thank you.
That's kind of cool. That's cool. I know I it was so funny. One time I tried to buy, there were about four of them in a airport bar. I travel a lot.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, offering to get them rounds and, you know, they were stumified. They came over. First of all, they turned down the alcohol, which I was like, yeah, that was kind of silly, but they got sodas. So it was just really, you know, they were so cool about it, but you know, I mean, and I didn't really want them to know who it was from, but the waitress came back over. But at any rate, we could talk about stories like that all the time. But today we're going to talk about women and how to get comfortable with finances, and specifically women in business. Because, you know, Lori, it's funny, funny, a little concerning that, you know, so many, I mean, it is like the biggest time for women in wealth management. You know, I mean, I've heard statistics
about
this is the greatest transfer of wealth to women over the next decade. And yet I continue to see women that really don't have a good handle on how to managing finances may not be it, but how to manage growth with finances. So what's kind of your take on that? Because we really want to talk about how women can get comfortable with finances. But what is it that kind of you see that's concerning with women, and what you know, kind of things do you want to share about how women can be better at their financial management?
Sure. And I think it just goes back to the way it used to be. And, you know, the man was the man of the house. And I would bet, by even in my parents, 90% of them, the male managed the finances. The males were in the C-suites, right? The males were starting businesses as entrepreneurs. Well, that totally has changed now as far as what women are doing and accomplishing and getting out there. However, I think we're a little bit behind in being the head of the finances and understanding, being educated. You know, men started learning about this a long, long time ago. And I know when I was growing up, you know, that was my dad's thing and I didn't pay much attention to it. And so when I was in school, actually, I realized I really liked math and numbers. And I also realized I was one of very few. Most people were like,
you're an oddball, is what you were saying. But that's a good thing.
I totally was.
And dollars.
Yeah. And, you know, they just made sense to me. And I got to say, that's part of the reason I went into this field, was because I knew women were underrepresented. And the more I got into it, the more I saw men talking to women about their finances and just saying silly things like, well, when you get married, or, you know, when you do this or that. And it's like, wait a minute, who said I'm going to, right? So I realized that women needed someone like me.
Yeah, because, you know, absolutely. And it's like I've heard over and over from women that will say, you know, as soon as they either won, it's like, if they were dealing with a gentleman who was a financial advisor, as soon as there was an opportunity for a change, they wanted a woman, because they felt like the financial advisor as the man was kind of talking at them and down to them. And I think that's interesting, because it's such a male-dominated industry in the financial services world. But I want you to share with our listeners, you've been in the industry a long time. I mean, you've been in it how many years?
Since 06, so 13.
that's a while. I mean, that's significant. And keep going what you were saying. I'm so sorry, because I wanted to make sure that people knew you've been in the industry a while. And now, you know, I continue to see women that, you know, just they want to deal with a woman. And, you know, not anything against men, but men, if we give you one message, it's like, you know, engage with women. Don't talk at them or down to them. So I think it is that. But I want to go back to, and forgive me, because I know in a half hour time, what are some of the things you see women do that maybe don't create success for their financial wherewithal and their financial future? Or, you know, can you share a couple of things of what you've kind of seen over the years? And maybe we can let our lovely listeners know some things to be aware of that they might want to change up.
Sure. I think one of the things I see, and I would say this is women in business and people in general, honestly, is that they collect financial instruments along the way, along their life, right, at different periods. You start working, you start a 401k. You, let's say you do start a family and you need life insurance, and then you need different things along the way. So we're now, you know, 25 years into our financial life, and we've collected all these different pieces, and no one is looking at them and saying, how are they working together, or are they working together? Are they overlapping? Are they duplicating? You know, are they competing with each other? So I think one of the big things that people need to do is get a, what I call like a roadmap of their finances, and look at it all on one piece of paper and say, this is everything I have. This is what's working with each other. This is what doesn't fit in there. So let's take that piece out for now and figure out what to do with that later. And that, I think that is partly because people don't know. They don't know what's out there. They don't know what they should be doing. And that is my biggest goal, is to get out there and educate people that there's so many options. And let's just get you educated on what you have, and then we can talk about what's available for you that would make the most sense for your future.
Do you ever find, Lori, that people are almost afraid to talk to a financial advisor? Because, you know, this is what I hear kind of in the inner sanctum of women, if I can say that, right? Because I hang with ladies every day, all day. And I will tell you, the fear factor of having to literally kind of show your financial footprint is threatening to people. How can women just kind of get over that? Because that's what I see.
Yeah.
They don't want to address the elephant in the room because they feel like, oh, it's personal, it's private. But it's private for a reason, because you want to be, you know, kind of letting an advisor support you. What are your thoughts on that?
Exactly. And I would say 100% you're right on there. And, you know, there was a time when I used to be afraid of it, because I was not sure if I was doing the right things, or if I had enough, or I had to access some money that I really didn't want to from my retirement plans. But at the time, it was the only option I knew about, so I took that route. So people have made mistakes down the way as well. And you don't want to uncover that or admit that necessarily. So my goal is to tell people there is no judgment here, none, zero. Whatever you have or haven't done up to this point is the path. And you know what? It's okay. Everyone does their best, right? You do the best that you can do at the time. And let's get you to a point where let's look at it, no shame, no guilt, no nothing. And, you know, maybe there's some accolades there that you didn't even know you should have, right? But
right.
No fear. Yeah. Just come forward. Let's sit down as two people, look at it, and understand it, I would say, is the basics. Let's just understand it and go from there. And if that means you want to move forward and plan or not, you know what, that's okay. Let's just make sure you understand what you're doing and where you're going.
Well, I think it is, but I think there's also trust that has to be built. You know, I mean, that's the one kind of like danger in your industry, like it is in any industry. I mean, there's a plethora of people, and I do think, you know, for people to kind of find the right synergy and personality with who you feel you can, you know, because all of them, I mean, quite frankly, I'm going to say this, you can trust almost all financial advisors, I would think, but it's a relationship. I mean, there's got to be good chemistry and synergy and, you know, feeling like you have somebody that understands you. Because the other thing is, it's like as much as you and all the people that are within the financial services industry, we talk about, you know, this financial plan. And, you know, my whole take is I am the poster child of, you know, the plan did not go according to the plan, you know, in my personal life and it, just in life in general. And I'm just putting it out there because I'm like, I've been beat up. I'm please don't ever do this, listeners. But it's like I cashed in my 401k plan to start my business. I would never advise that. You know, I mean, I've had some, you know, things go on personally between me and my husband just because he's had some health issues. I mean, it's just life is what it's going to be. And how do so how do you sit down with somebody so that you can kind of map out a plan? I mean, without telling your secret sauce or whatever that is, you know, how do you sit down with somebody that doesn't have the perfect plan, I guess? Because I feel like that's most of us.
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, I don't know that my plan is perfect. Part of it is
now you're being authentic. I like that.
And we're dealing with unknowns out there, right? I mean, the market's the market. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows what that's going to do. So no one can say a plan is 100% solid. I would say the first thing I do when I meet someone or someone wants to talk about their finances is either have a sit down with coffee, online Zoom call, or at least a phone call, and just talk to them, get to know a little bit about them, you know, where they live, what they do, where they work, what their goals and wishes and desires are, and for them to hear a little bit about me. So that's the beginning to say, do we click? Do you flow with me? Do you feel good about, you know, going to the next step? And if they do, that's where I like to say, okay, let's map out what you have today. And I just call it your asset map. And we take everything you have and we just put it on this map. And then you clearly see what you have. Pretty, ugly, horrible, great. You know, it's everything in between. But you can't plan without seeing where you are to start with. And the other thing I think that's really important here is to realize, at least when you're working with me, and I hope most people, it's take baby steps. I say do one thing at a time. Don't make multiple changes at one time, because you need to get used to each change that we're going to make and be comfortable with it before we make the next one. So it's prioritize, mm-hmm. And then budget, and then get agreement with that this is the order we'll try things in. And then maybe you can't even take the first step the full way, but that's okay. Let's take a step in the right direction and see where that gets us in 6 months. And I think that leads to the next thought, which is constantly having these dialogues, whether it's once a month, once a quarter, once every 6 months, and eventually once a year as things get rolling and start taking care of themselves. But if something's going on in their lives, call me or your financial person and let them know, so that they go, okay, this is going to change things up. Just let me know that, you know. Don't be afraid to keep them in the loop, and then they can look at what can we change within that plan that we made 6 months ago.
Well, and again, I know I'm going to, for full disclosure, I want all of our listeners to know about, you know, the compliance piece here, right? We have to give a disclosure that
right. You're
not giving investment advice. It's like you are not
no. Telling
people what to invest in. But I do want to go a little deeper on this and say, you know, when you have conversations with people, you know, I hear financial advisors that say, if you don't have, you know, $10 million portfolio, you know, then blah, 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 can't do anything for you. But
gotcha. For
the average...
Yep.
Average Joe or average, you know, Josephine, if I can say that, it's like, what,
yeah. You
know, what are some of the things that you have people do when they have really no game plan? I'm like, can you walk us through a little more detail on that? Because I think that would be useful for people to hear, because you're saying you ask a lot of questions, you know, and I
right. Know
it's based on, like, you know, the family size, is it one person, what age they are, that kind of thing. But walk us through that meeting, if you don't mind, on just what we can have our listeners understand of what the kind of peeling back the layers is to determine how you can best help them.
Sure. And if I could start with, there are different types of financial advisors. Some manage money only, some are insurance only, and then some are a combination. So know what you're dealing with when you're talking to the person. And so
mm-hmm.
I would say the things that to consider when you maybe have some money, but not a lot, you're not like set to go, and you just know that no matter what happens, you'll be fine, which is not most of us. It would be
right.
Looking at what you have and where is it, how safe is it in the market, how old are you, and how much risk are you willing to take? So the younger you are, the longer you have to recover if something goes bad, right? So in, let's say,
right.
2008 and 9, when things happened, they hit my mom terribly. They hit me, sort of, and then they hit, you know, like my niece and nephew, not at all. So it depends
right. On
where you are in the, how close you are to, let's say, retirement or changing your lifestyle, if you want to put it that way. And then how much time do you have to recover if something goes amiss in the market? So how much exposure do you have to things falling down? And then you look at different products and different ways you can invest to make sure that if you don't have a very long timeline, you are going to be safe enough, yet you still have potential to grow your money in a good market. So really, it's the 5 years before you retire and the 5 years after you retire are the most crucial times in your investments, because that's around the time you're going to start taking money out. And if you're taking money out while the market is down, you've got a double whammy. So we really want to watch that time period and how safe you are with your money and how protected you are against the down market. So does that kind of help answer that
concern? Yeah, it's great. I think, you know, It does. It's great. And, you know, I can, all I can tell you is some of the things I hear women talk about in relation to financial, you know, kind of fear. I mean, it's right? It's financial fear. Because usually, I mean, you hear the statistics and the media that talk about how nobody, I mean, not nobody, right? Not polar things, but it's like this from a trending perspective and from a larger percentage is people are not saving. And it's like, I know people are working multiple jobs, they're doing the side hustles, you know, I mean, people, you know, from still are reeling from, you know, 2008. I mean, it's just, I know people that have lost businesses and homes. How do you regroup with somebody that hasn't done anything and they're getting to that, you know, I mean, I call us the 80s ladies, but let's say those that are in their 50s or, you know, early 60s, and it's like now all of a sudden it's like reality is hitting you in the face. What are maybe some tools or things that you might recommend without, again, telling people how to invest?
Sure.
Compliance.
Yeah, sure. I would say look at any amount you have saved, right? And where is it and is it growing? A lot of people pulled out of the market in 08, 09 because of that crash and didn't ever really get back in or tiptoed back in and haven't taken advantage of the huge ride we've had for the past 10 years. And you know what? That's okay. There were reasons you didn't. But now is the time to really, really knuckle down, look at what you've got coming in, what you've got going out, what you've got saved, where you can cut what's going out. So if you don't have much saved, obviously we have to figure out a way to save more because you're going to need more. And also ways that, you know, maybe you don't fully like retire on Social Security and whatever else you have saved at 65. You say push that to 67 or 70, which is okay because in my opinion, we're all much younger than my mom was at 70, and I continue to work way past that is in my plan. So, you know, we just make some adjustments, but the thought behind it is take a look, be realistic, and open that kimono and let's take a look and see what we can do and where maybe you can pull back a little bit on your spending and save a little bit more because every little bit's going to help you down the road.
Can I want to tell you, there's a book that I read years ago and it was actually very, for me, mind changing. And it was called The Latte a Day Factor. Are you familiar with it?
Oh, sure.
Oh, my God. It was just talking about small. I mean, it's, again, the whole analogy of small changes equal big results. But,
absolutely.
You know, I mean, I was, again, everybody has a different thing. And I, you know, for you, I'm curious to know, like, what are the array of services that you do, Lori? I mean, let our listeners know what you do to represent, especially, you know, for women. But give them a little bit of an overview about what you do as a financial professional.
Sure. So, there's different components of your financial life. And so one is your investment side and your savings. And so we'll look at that and then determine how much risk you want to take. We can look at investing in the market or putting in a safer vehicle that'll give you some protection against a down market. So we'll look at the investment side. And based on how much risk you're willing to take, and we do an analysis to figure that out so that we're realistic with you, because I don't want to do something that you're not comfortable with, first of all. But we do want to be in the market so we can take advantage of these of the growth that you're going to receive in that market. The other things are a protection side, so a protection of your money, your life, things like what would happen if you have a disability, protection down the road on if you have a long-term care event and you need to access money for that. That's another big thing that at my age and your age, we need to start planning for, because as we live into our mid-80s, 90s, mid-90s, and some even more than that, the chance of us needing some type of assistance is huge, and that is a huge expense as well. So we need to plan for that so you don't end up not having the money to take care of that and having to rely on the government, which will help you in some ways, but not to the level, let's say, that you would choose if you had that choice. So there's ways to plan for that too that don't cost very much. And I don't know if people are thinking about that these days, but that's definitely something I talk to people and want them to look at. And especially women, because we do live longer than men. We tend to be their caretakers. But what if something happens to us? Who's going to take care of us?
Right. No, I mean, that's scary.
And do we want our kids to if we have kids? You know, I mean, maybe not. But you know what?
No, I think you're right on.
Have.
I think everybody's different. Like some people are really, I mean, and again, you know, you got women today that it's like, I mean, there's other issues going on with, you know, women who are taking care of their parents. You know, I mean, I hear about it all the time that, you know, mom is coming into the household or they're having to, you know, kind of like arrange living arrangements for mom or dad or, you know, I mean, they call it the sandwich generation, which I'm like, oh my God, it's so true. You know,
Absolutely.
We only got a couple minutes left and, you know, I wish you would paint a picture for me. I mean, if you could identify the three things that you see on a daily basis that you wish more women would do in taking care of their financial wherewithal and their financial health, what would that be if we can kind of hit into that? Like, what are the three things that you see women, you know, kind of maybe circumvent success because they're not focused on these three things? What would those be that you could share with our listeners?
Okay. I would say the first one is take a look, get educated, and work with someone who can explain what you have. The second thing would be understand that the market isn't always bad, that there are different levels of risk out there, and so don't think you have to just go all in if you want to be in the market. There are different avenues and different types of investments you can do that are conservative, but you can still get growth out of them. Growth is very important for us, for our futures. And third, I would say find someone that you're comfortable with that can help you kind of say, here's what you're doing today, and if you continue doing this, this is what it's going to be like at age 65, 67, 70. And if you're okay with that, great. If not, let's make some tweaks to it. It's really not difficult, and we can get over that fear just by having you understand what's going on.
Ooh, that's pretty good. I like that. Hey, if any of our listeners want to reach you, how would you like to be contacted? Do you mind sharing how you want
to
get a raised hand of somebody?
Love to. My cell phone, which is also my business phone, is 619-850-2262. And my email is Lori, Lori Wilson, Wilson@axa-advisors.com.
Awesome. That is awesome. And I have one final question for you. Are you ready? It's going to be a big question.
I'm ready.
I feel like we need a drum roll here or something, but I mean, this is what I love to kind of have as there you go. Thank you for that. I want you to just, what is something you can leave us with to our listeners that's inspirational, motivational, blow our minds to just kind of tie up and button up the whole radio show? I know, right? Leave us with something magnificent. I know there's no pressure here, but I always like to hear what people say. And I'm curious, what would be yours and how you'd like to leave us with the show?
I would say live your passion. Don't be afraid. Listen to your intuition. It's right. It's right. It's right. I've learned that. And 100% go for it. And if you have fear, plow through that fear. It's not worth stopping you. Just go for it. Listen to yourself and your heart.
Whoop, whoop. I think thumbs up. You get drop the mic, baby. Bam. I love it. You know, it's like, you know, none of us, well, I always like to kind of leave on a high note, and that was awesome. And I want to say thank you to you for being our leading lady today. And I want to encourage our listeners to reach out to Lori. I've known her for a while, and man, she knows her stuff. So thank you again for being on our show. And to our listeners, I want to say thank you for your loyalty and for listening. As most of you know by now, and if you don't, you should, we actually have international listeners because we are an international radio show. And we really enjoy, you know, the comments and how you listen in and, you know, you come back again and again because we're here every Monday for live shows at 9 a.m. on Mondays and 2 p.m. on Fridays, which is Pacific time, now standard time. And, you know, with that, I always like to say, if you could please, you know, take a moment to be supportive of other professional women, and we will see you on the next Women Lead Radio Show. Thanks, and have a great week.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.